contains all the information that you have the right to be into. So don't connect that one and that one. Oh, I understand what you're saying. Certain slides are missing here, so I think my apologies. I remember I've seen also one slide which is not here. So, photocopying.
No. It's not just certain slides, but there are certain portions where there's a lot more information that was given in the presentation than is on here.
Oh.
So it's certainly a different or an updated.
Yeah, so you're listening. Okay, now that's fine. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. So just in terms of the available funding and looking at the budget required, and then obviously looking at the target, there's a huge discrepancy. The available funding, if I look at 207.08, is probably, I don't know how to do the math, but probably 27% of what is required. Now, there is a concern. We're into 207-208, and we've been given these lovely targets of 7,600 BNG houses, et cetera, et cetera. But if we don't have the funding in place at the beginning of the financial year, then, you know, those targets are really meaningless. So if I could have some comment on the available funding and the budget that's required. Then, Chair, perhaps just some clarity on BNG houses. Presumably there is standalone houses, because there's a difference being made here between BNG houses and then walk-ups. And it was my impression with the breaking new ground and the integrated development piece that the department wanted to go for higher density. And we're certainly not going to achieve that if the BNG houses, which if it is a standalone houses, far exceed the walk-ups. So again, perhaps just some comments on that. And if I could just have two more questions, Chair, and then I'll give the other members an opportunity. I am pardon? Okay, I'm going to have to search for a good one here, Chair. The question that I want to ask, and I'm looking for it there, there was something somewhere about 6, and it's not the end to gateway. Unless you're going to give me another opportunity, Chair, but...
I'm not going to give you another opportunity. Mr. Chair, over to you, Claire.
Thanks.
Thanks, Comrade Chair. I think Mr. Stain has covered me in terms of the content of the presentation, which does need to be rectified. I have one request to make, Chair. That is, you know, for many of us, or for many people in Cape Town, they regard the N2 gateway as what they see on the highway, on the N2 highway. However, there are areas, parts of the project, which are not visible from the highway. And I think for our own benefit as this portfolio committee, could we please be given, even if it can be reduced into an A4 page, but a map of where these areas are. I think that will help us as well. The second thing, just to correct something, in the presentation there was a photograph given of, I think it's Joe Slovo, along the highway from the power station. In my understanding and from what I see, that area hasn't changed. There's only an area where the walk-ups have been built, but the rest of the area is pretty much the same. So I'm not too sure what has changed. Because the presentation was said that the area has changed significantly. And it's just right by the power station. Maybe I've observed incorrectly. But Chair, I really want to come down to this presentation and to the project as a whole. Right at the end, there's a whole lot of challenges that have been listed. Now, we were first presented with this project in this committee in 2004, latter half of 2004. And I am a little bit concerned that still today, we're being presented with a whole range of things. Problems with this and problems with that. And I am concerned as to how this project has been managed. I understand that there are complexities. I understand that. But I think that it is going too slow. And I think we need to get an indication. All of these challenges and that last page that we were shown, I think we need to be given an indication as this committee as to when are those going to be resolved. Because I don't think it would be correct if we come again later this year to give an update on the N2 Gateway project and we still are faced with different challenges and different complexities. And again, I want to say I understand. But, you know, we've got to come to a point where all of these are finalized. That includes the issue of land. why are we only now finding out that we don't have enough land? My understanding of a project is when you plan a project, that you look at everything. And sure, there are some things that get added on. So in terms of the issue of land, I don't think it's correct that we're going way beyond into 2009, 2010. Can that not be fast-tracked? Cannot that, that's what people have brought forward. Why do we have to project so much later? This is an urgent project. It's one of the pilot projects. It brings me also, Chairperson, to the issue of finance. 372 million rand was allocated during the medium-term budget policy statement. Can we get an indication, has that money been transferred? How much has been used? And will it all be used by the end of this financial year, which ends end of March, because that's what the money was allocated for. So I think we do need to be told that as a committee. Chair, I'll leave it as there. I'm sure I might have some other questions, but I'll leave it there for now. Thanks.
Thanks,
Chairperson.
Thank you. 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 Because when I look at this document, it's just challenges and then there's that listed. There are no measurements or plans that have been put, that have been put place to ensure that how are they going to resolve. So I was just going to raise that. And then there's another, the deadlines. The deadlines here, for instance, under UREF, the challenge here is that additional funding of 13.9 million will be, are going to be considered by the provincial government on the 9th of February 2007. I think those things have to be rectified, because now, if they have not been met, it should be revealed that they have not been met, and what were the reasons for that. Thanks, Chair. But I also want to emphasize on the issue of that funding that has been given during the MCPPS. I want to check if the city itself, if that does have any an allocation, and how many houses, just I'm interested to know how many houses that has been built by the city itself in this area, in Cape Town.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I think I should start with the funding that we went to negotiate with the Treasury last year, the Minister of Housing and myself. The question was posed to us whether when we need additional funding for the N2, whether the funds will be used by the end of the financial year. Now, bearing in mind that there were still problems with land availability, we appreciated what we got from the fiscal. 372 million rands for the financial year, 200 million rands for the following financial year, and so forth. But I think the problem of the land availability has been quite affected the project negatively. I'm aware that my colleague is saying that the municipal manager, after his meeting with the mayor, the land availability agreement will be signed. That's what we're told, but we've been told this for the last 6 months. And we don't really go to Treasury where we have this uncertainty and demand or ask for bigger money, because we are going to have money and not be able to use. On our side, Chairperson, we then took all the documents, the business plan of the project, the memorandum of understandings, decisions of M3 meetings over a period of time, and give them to the state law advisor. Not the state law advisor, but state law advisor. Giving all of these documents, our view at the department is that from the inception, portions of land that constitute the N2 were ceded by the city to the project. And we're asking the state law advisors just to confirm or to refute our assertion. Because we believe that if these portions of land have been ceded to the project, surely the pace of land availability agreement of the city is really breaking this down. And it's actually making this project to run for too many years unnecessarily. The advice we got was that, yes indeed, if you take the arguments that were made, the memorandum of understanding, the decisions that took place over a period of time by the mayor, the minister, and the MEC's meetings, everything else, if you take it into totality, indeed we do have a case to say that all these portions of land that we have been asking the city to transfer, they actually belong to the project. It may well be that the title deed is still with the city, but legally, those portions of land belong to the project. Hence, 2 weeks ago, we instructed the developer to go on site because we can't wait anymore. Now, this also talks to the question about the funding that we have received. The latest indications are that we will not be able to use all the money that we have received from Treasury. 272 million rand for this financial year, precisely because the money could not be spent as a result of the land availability agreement. Now that this matter has been cleared, and that we instructed developers to go on site to start clearing the site and so forth, we think that there will be a movement in terms of expenditure, and obviously we'll be able to go back and start negotiating for a better funding for the project. Now, the land availability has been a problem. The slide that said that there has been improvement is because people have been moved already on different. So there is a movement there. There is another portion of people that who doesn't want to move at this stage, but negotiations are taking place. Minister is meeting communities there. But there's a land clearance. And on that land that is cleared, already the contractors are the developer is on site. So I think that's really what Mr. Chelsea wanted to say. Chairperson, over and above this money that we have negotiated with Treasury, we must just indicate that in terms of our agreements with the province, agreements which are the basis of this project in particular, the province is still obliged to put aside 200 million rand per annum for the project. So funding from Treasury that we got last year, with the commitment from Treasury to put money aside for this project for the next 3 years, it is money that has been put over and above what is the commitment of the province to the project. So as where you see 372, the province must put 200 million rand. So it's around 572. So that is really the issue I wanted to clarify. In addition to that, as Mr. Chauke indicated, there is additional funding from MIG, which is inadequate, of course. There has been a further request to DPLG to top up that with 44 million rand. These are portions of funding that we have, and I think we think that the Department of Mineral and Energy and ERCON will also come to the party and contribute with the infrastructure, particularly electrical infrastructure, for the project. Those will be my comments at this stage, Chairperson. I'll give my colleagues to comment further on other issues.
What's happening, because also sometimes what's explained here
is also quite correctly what's visible and what's not visible. And a lot of the presentation picks up what's not visible. So there's movement, and then based on what the DG said, the problem is that the resourcing isn't available. But if you look through the presentation, it suggests that there's a lot of service sites, or the sites are being serviced, and then he points out to the difficulties around the release of financing. But that's not visible. You can't see that. So that's quite correct. And it would be useful to point that out. I think also DG makes the point, which is in here, the service sites are being used for TRA, and that's a very expensive exercise in itself, but it releases other parcels of land for development. So that movement is important. And in an earlier period around the ISLP, until that map was developed, it's too many names and too many numbers. You can't see it unless it's mapped for people. So the point is valid. Overall, the question then related to that is what was the percentage set out for high density units versus ordinary units? In the original suggestion, there was going to be a move towards a 70-30 split, and that was reversed subsequently to completely the opposite, partly related to cost and location. So inner-city locations were the one in Joe was more possible, and then the negotiations, which is experiencing difficulty in Boyd Town, was around the same issue. The intention was to go high-density there, but given the history of Boyd Town linked to ISLP, there was a long resistance and reluctance to move to high density. So that altered it, and then linked to that alteration was the question of the cost and availability. The cost of subsidy units, social housing units versus individual owned subsidy units can be anywhere between a 2-3-1 or even 4-1 ratio, depending on the soil conditions and other related costs. The Joe Slovo area and in the picture we showed, there were huge problems in relation to the soil problems, and that escalated the cost. And there has been significant escalation and an unanticipated escalation. So, but the ratio is about 3-1. It didn't make sense to proceed with that in the same way. The large location for the future, notwithstanding the land availability issue, and I have just done some work for the provincial government, there is a crisis in this area, both because of cost, suitability, and availability of land. It just does not exist for the purposes of low-income housing. And Delft is, in a sense, a default locality, as was suggested, but in the current spatial framework for the city of Cape Town, it does present a long-term opportunity, but that's not for discussion here. The issue is consistent with national policy at this point. The intention of moving social housing forward, there was a great anticipation of its ability to do what it was intended to do, but about 10%, which represents this project, is the likely short-term intervention. From a low level of 2% of housing being social housing over the last 10 years to 10% in this project, and that's a fairly significant move. Now, I know it's not as big as was anticipated, as in the notion of the 70-30, giving the 30% in social housing and changing the form of the city. It's certainly a growth on what was the last 10 years' experience. Now, just separately, and the problem with social housing is the cost aside, is whether the institutional capabilities exist. What we're seeing here is the beginnings of the development of that institutional capability. Both, there's two components. One is the construction side, which Tubulis is fulfilling in this instance, and that's both had up. And then the second side is the long-term managerial capability. So social housing requires both. And I think that while the anticipated scale didn't happen, it's certainly a significant demonstration of what's possible in a single project to get a 10% social housing component. So I think that's perhaps the lesson that we've learned. To attempt to go bolder, but to cut it back to what we have is probably what's within our realm of capability than what was thought. And I think that's the reality. Are the entities ready to do that? So that's just the commentary on the questions of how we ended up with that. And that's the lesson we should reflect.
important is that can we extend to 10 or 15% of social housing in new projects and in the pilots that are being discussed today? What is the extent to which we can move more social housing in relationship to the issues that we raised earlier, cost, form, affordability, and institutional capability? I think that's the comment.
No, I think that, yes, other than to plug in finding our value. But that's the question, the valid question of why this is an issue and not the national strategy. The technical issue with regard to the conditions in the CFMC, but we're resolving that with the issues we have, making part of the issues in the CFMC. There was another question about the project area where I just thought I'd pull this line. That's indication number one. The project area essentially is located on both sides of the road, of the entry, and the range between the city, you know, the city has close to the city up to the airport. So we are. This is Botas Pari, just past the airport. You see, that's what we are going back to. This is the bathroom area. Side of the road. This is the airport, the shed itself.
Now the client is correct. Initially, they gave an impression that up to the power station, everything was for the car. I think that's what Greg was saying. But in any case, let's not delve on that. Let's move on.
Chairperson and DG Comrade Road. But mine is still on 7 million. I think you have attempted to answer that. And if we don't utilize, if the province or the federal province cannot, why don't we transfer this money to Benisha so that we can put it to good use? That's my suggestion. Secondly, Chairperson, I wonder if the council is here. Why I'm saying that, I could see on the slide there were achievements and challenges, particularly on the maintenance and provision of services by the city of Cape Town. They are duty bound, that's their duty, to service. So you don't have to ask them, they have to do, that's their duty. So I wonder if they are presented today, because maybe I'm late, I didn't see, you didn't introduce us to them. But you must tell them they must do, they are duty bound to service those sites. So I'm trying to emphasize on that. You don't have to beg them.
Thank you, Chairperson. I apologize for being late. My question to the department would be that as this was one of the pilot projects for the breaking new ground strategy, and it was identified because of its unique problems and challenges that you have also raised here. To say say what experiences and lessons that have been learned to make sure that the new ground strategy then works in other areas in order to be able to achieve what the department has set itself for eradicating of informal settlement and so forth. A specific lesson, especially given even the challenge not presented by geographical areas and materials, and also political challenges in changing of government and so forth in terms of vision and strategy to achieve that. Thank you.
Thanks, Comanche. I think Mavena has covered me in some ways regarding the city, because one of the things I did notice throughout the presentation, it's referred to challenges and things that still need to be sorted out with the city. We've got some clarification on some of the land that there seems to have been, I don't know if it's confusion or deliberate confusion. But I think that we really need to, as a committee, we really need to call on all the role players in this project to take heed to the President's call when he closed the State of the Nation address and he said, let's roll up our sleeves and get down to work. I really think that whoever's involved in this project, doesn't matter where they sit, I really think that's the call we've got to make from this committee. It's the lives of people that are at stake. It's the lives of people, and I think that's one thing that you've got to remember. So I'm saying wherever the person sits, wherever people sit, whether it's in the city, whether it's in the province, whether it's in national, wherever, we've really got to call on everybody to roll up their sleeves, take their hands out of their pockets and get down to work. It's absolutely imperative. That would be my first comment, Chair. My second one is just regarding the summary we've been given here in terms of the delivery. And we're showing that in 2009-2010 financial year, in terms of what it says here, PNG houses, that there's just over 6,500 that were built in that time period. My question would be, is it not possible to bring that forward? Do we have to wait that long? Is there any way that can be brought forward? And it goes back to my question, because my question wasn't answered in terms of the additional land that is needed. We were told that an additional 200 hectares of land are required. We've been partly covered and said that there's a bit of a crisis, or there's a problem, should I say, with land availability in Cape Town. But I'm also asking there, can we not start to fast-track these processes, bring forward the completion of units, and also really put some speed and commitment into the identifying of additional land?
Thank you, Chairperson. I certainly agree with Greg's first comment, and I also want to add that if we want to turn this into a political slang match, we can do that. I'm not going to do that. But we shouldn't be looking at tossing and making the problem just with one sphere of government simply because there's been a change of power within that government. We must not forget that this project started in 2004, and the same government at all three spheres were in power until 2006. But be that as it may, Chairperson, one of the questions I couldn't find was on one of the slides that was missing, and I think it was New Rest. There's something about 1,150 urban, and then there was mention made of 190 was unoccupied, and that's where they're going to start building. Does that mean the rest of them are occupied, and what's going to happen to those people in order to get access to those urban? And then secondly, again on one of the slides that I missed, mention was made of something, either 400 or 600 units that have been completed, but only 100 beneficiaries identified. Now, Chair, that's the problem. I mean, here we've got the walk-up to 705, and only 690, almost a year later, have been occupied, whilst we've got people that are living in circumstances that they shouldn't be living in. How is it possible that we manage to complete units and not have identified beneficiaries before the units are completed?
Thanks. Just before your response, I just want to hear from you, Gigi. Are you saying that the problem of land has been resolved? Are you saying now that the city has agreed that the land which they presented to us, which they said is dedicated for M2 gateway, will be given to the project. Are you saying there's an agreement to that? Secondly, I don't know whether that's a planning mesh, Mr. Steam. I'm talking about a reality. And secondly, on the 1st of March, we are told that the city is going to terminate services. I don't know whether it's a planning mesh or it's a fact. What do you say?
Sure, there have been quite a number of challenges apart from land and land availability. Functions that are performed are within the domain of the municipality, like the approval of plans and so forth. And there have been quite a number of challenges. And so land is but one of them. And I'm unable to say that land availability has been signed as I'm speaking, because as I said, Chairperson, it has raised so many times. But what we hear and we understand is the case is that the city manager was going to meet with the mayor so that the land availability agreement can be signed. But we are now moving on the basis of what the state law advisors are saying to us, that the land, by definition, has been ceded to the project. Now, all those portions of land that have been ceded to the project, ourselves and the province, will continue to instruct developers to go on site and move forward. We don't anticipate the city to object to this. We don't anticipate any legal problem. I think this is in the best interest of all of us. But in the most unlikely event, Chairperson, such a move is taken, we are quite willing to request that provisions of Intergovernmental Relations Act be invoked in order to solve the matter. But we are really moving. We think that that legal opinion gives us the basis of moving forward, and when we need to transfer land and so on to beneficiaries and so forth, then that will be done. It's a technical, we just remember that this is a technical matter. We should not have allowed ourselves to be dragged into the technical matter. So whether the land availability is signed or not, as I've stated here, for us it does not make any material change anymore, because we really need to start moving fast at pace. But we do anticipate, Chairperson, as I indicated, that we'll continue to have this problem when certain functions are to be performed, like approval of certain things like plans by the municipality. We anticipate we may have those challenges, but I think we do have enough legal base to interact and to ask for mediation where necessary. Chair, yes, there have been issues about the cutting of services and or further funding to the project. We think that it is within our scope of the city that we will sort those issues out. Just to indicate that in terms of that fund, 372 million rand, we have also in discussions with Treasury to allow us to use that part of that money for bulk infrastructure where we have problems, so that we are not being, because of a lack of funding from the city. So there are discussions that are taking place, and we're also looking at the possibilities of what Tunisia could do. For instance, on the electricity market side, it's about 8 million that is needed. So we are exploring this, and we understood the agency, as expressed by the members of this committee last year, expressed by the president. And we are attending to that matter, or all these challenges.
I'm still repeating the question that was raised by Honorable Member Sambus about the number of houses being built by the city itself, because they appear so many times when newspapers get their delivery. I want to know the number of houses, probably the DG or the department has the number of houses being built by this city. I would love to hear that. Thank you.
Chair, the question I asked earlier about the beneficiaries in the completed village, they will be on.
May I deal with that one? We do take note of the sensitivity of allocation, Chairperson. And we are saying that as BNG houses are completed, at least because now there is this move, we'll be getting 400 houses every month, every 45 days. As the agreement with the developer, we must give the people in the TRA the first opportunity at least to choose about 100 people. We really want to be part of interacting with the community and, you know, making sure that there is that ownership at that level. But obviously, we do have the list and the criteria that that was done by the going by the criteria that Mr. Chowdhury spoke about. After every 100, then that kicks in your elderly, the frail, and so forth to move them. We would not want to have a situation whereby there will be chaos as people have been moved out of the TRAs into the settlement, the administrative conflict.
The question by the member, is there any house built by the city of Cape Town since they got into power? I think it's an unfair question to ask them now, because I don't think they've made those kinds of funds. But if there is any, then you can answer. But Mr. Chen, you say to me the same.
Within the authorities of the NEC based on committed projects and expenditure, and the team in the provinces really got their act together, that they are fulfilling their requirements. But I cannot comment whether it takes time to fulfilling its requirements. The problem is really the demand. The backlog in the Western Cape is about 400,000 overall. The backlog in Cape Town is about 60% of that, which is about 300,000. There was a little debate about that. So, if the province is geared up, and I am aware because I've been doing some work with them, their delivery is on scale, is on target. And with 400,000 backlog, they can switch projects to make sure they fulfill their expenditure. So I'm aware of that. And they are absolutely on target. The team is really working well. That's just a small commentary on that. In the Premier's speech on the land issue this year, in agreement with his cabinet, there are two or three critical references to housing. And there's a large chunk. You've got the 10-point program, and one of the May, there's two parts which affect the sustainable human settlement, but also housing delivery, and the third part is land. In it, he has largely committed his provincial cabinet and colleagues to improve the process of approval, township approval, etc. as a commitment. They have identified lands, it is specified in the Premier's speech which lands at some province they will allocate for the purposes of housing in this locality. So there is a commitment from province to free up the lands within provincial funds or any negotiations with the city for the purposes of housing delivery. I know there is a commitment to that. On the question of NUREZ, the issue is that NUREZ was always an in-situ upgrade, and it can only occur by people moving to one side. So the cleaning up of those properties required a lot of renegotiation of people moving out. People with around 170 units, then they will move in, and that will free up another part of the land. So that was always the intent. It was the one exceptional piece that was always designed as an in-situ upgrade in the classic city. So that's why there was a mix of those as original. On the broad question of lessons, this is part of a presentation that was prepared for cabinet some time ago, but the two critical elements in it is, or two or three critical elements that are very useful for this committee, is just, if you see, just go up a slide. Yeah, that's the one. All that shows is where is the N2 located in the city, and it is in dead center of the city in the new space, and requires a particular set of solutions. And you will see that you can see the tone. What the purple, more purple area, is not even meant to be purple, but it is the high level of density. And towards the right-hand corner, you can't see the higher levels of purple, but where you see the higher levels of purple, it's usually, I don't think it's the way the color scheme picked it up, it's very high density, and that's usually, in this instance, linked to informal settlements and townships and backyards. So it's actually picked up and shown you how intense the nature of the problem is. So the next slide then shows you, that one just shows the yellow is along the line that I show you the high density, but you'll see the approximation of the where Dow Symphony is, Dow and Driftstand, which was problematic in relationship to environmental considerations largely, for the provincial decision. But that's where you see the movement. But now, Phyllis, if you go right to the end, to the last slide, to the slide that shows you right at the bottom. In the presentation that was made to Cabinet, interestingly, so if you saw where Driftstand is, around where that green on the right-hand side, the little yellow dots show you how the impact of the thinking of now, of what N2. So N2 is located close to what the new center of the city is, the red dotted area. This is a plan, the 20-year integrated settlement concept. It was a draft plan from the city of Cape Town just before the election, and I think that it's, I'm not sure if the date was post the election, but what was interesting about the draft plan is that the idea is, until the N2 came along, the city always looked inward. This plan shows you the city trying to reconceptualize the settlement concept, the yellow dot, as to what the future of the city would be like. That's the nature of the future of the city. And so that would change the concept of it, and the N2 was quite significant. You can see the word there, the 20-year integrated settlement concept. So, and in the context, we pointed out the impact of N2. So you were asking what were the lessons. One of the lessons is we have to reconceptualize the city and reopen the spaces and renegotiate it. But you'll see in the next slide, a more significant feature. If you can go open this slide as a full thing, I'll show you something. You'll see that this slide is the Western Cape Human Settlement Strategy, the main slide. And conceptually, this is how they started thinking on it, partly based on this issue. What it shows is that the red part, this is from the poverty indicators or levels of living indicators from the city of Cape Town. It's their own stats. The red is where the poorest live, and then the colors going lighter up to the gray is where the more wealthy live. Interestingly, it's a circle which suggests that what would have been seen as the edge of the city, in the new metropole, linked to some of the circles, the circles relate to high levels of poverty in what are middle income areas, but the center of the city is where the tourists live, and the density applies to it in the same way. So the circles go out to more well-off and lower densities. But by intervening in the way that the N2 did, it said it's forcing you to rethink about the nature of the city and the possibilities that exist. So when you look at the previous slide and this one, you begin to see a new reconceptualization. And that, we believe, and we indicated that to government, unless we did the intervention we were doing, we were dealing with small projects all over the city. You had to rethink this. And part of that then links to what we're suggesting. What was the intervention strategy? The intensity of informal settlements, and you can't see it in this, but in part of the previous presentation, we're talking about 400 dwelling units per hectare. That's what that number of the radius. In the gray area, we're talking sometimes 2 dwelling units per hectare. So this city is where the rich live in density and where the poor live in density had to be revisited. So the strategy says you must deal with informal settlement. That's the provincial strategy. You must deal with backyard support and start reusing the instruments, because informal settlement is both backyard and standing. And then new mixed integrated income medium density. So the last, so you can see that those, by the way, correspond to the corridors that were painted in the last picture by the city of Cape Town. Those corridors, interestingly, go Khayelitsha up that way to Bellville, then there's a Bellville corridor, and then there's the corridor on what would have been the old main road down through Claremont. So what you're seeing is that you need to relook at these corridors. Within that framework, the suggestion by the province is that you should lead the social housing lead project, new integrated mixed income medium density. In the Premier's speech this year, he has committed the provincial department that holds land to identify land in those very parcels. So if you have a look at the Premier's speech, you will see there's a commitment to identifying those corridors, supporting the reintegration of the city and using our instruments more effectively. And then improved management and transfer of those social housing entities. So without this, what we did for Cabinet is draw a set of lessons from the N2, and they are significant lessons. Just one additional final comment. The issue around the TRA, we've learned a lot about social housing, we've learned a lot about project management, appointment of Jubilee is insignificant. But perhaps one of the most significant issues is the high level of engagement with the media community, restoring government to citizen community communication and confidence. We believe it's perhaps one of the most important cases. Every community, including those who've been opposed to it, have been party to an engagement process that, in our view, if you saw the level of protest linked to the N2 a year ago, or 2 years ago, and you see it last year, there's been a dramatic decline. And the result, the reason for that is that government has intensive engagement. Every TRA, you saw that the one comment, requires negotiations and agreements. And we believe we restore community confidence.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Mr. Gowder. And thanks for those comments. Members, I think we don't have time for, unfortunately, for the Eastern Cape presentation. But we thank the department with the engagement as far as the N2 gateway is concerned. Members, is there any member who feels that my question has not been answered? Or agree with that? I thought you were done with questions.
I just said DGM reminds me of something.
Oh, okay. I don't want to look out the DA. They were too political.
Jefferson, I just want to... There's been a talk of 45 days. And I just checked the numbers there, I don't see them. But they talk about 400 that should be handed over, gave to 45 days. I just want to make sure, is it houses or is it the savings plans that should be handed over? And if it is houses or savings, the second question I want to know, when do we start counting those 45 days? Is it for a year or is it just as how, just to get started when it is? And the other one I want to go is Murad.
To say, yes. It comes from your member, yes.
Nures, they talk about the challenge here, which is on the, it should have been completed by the 9th of February 2007. I just want to know whether it is still a challenge or is it an achievement by now. Because today is the 28th of February.
Any other member to raise any question? It's the last question.
Well, sir, there were challenges in the manner in which a contract was signed with the developer, which put us in a situation whereby we're not getting our 400,000 the end of this month, as it was previously planned last year, but we're getting those number 30. Now, the argument is that as from tomorrow, we count one. Every 45 days, we want our 400,000 period. On those same sides. That's the agreement on the delivery that has got to take place. And to make it clear to the developers that it is non-negotiable, we've got to move that way. So from tomorrow, count one, if you don't get our 45, if you don't get our 400,000, then I must assure the members that punitive measures will be taken against those who are doing this job for us. So it is really a performance-based sort of measure that is put in place.
Members, I think the issue is the department is trying to do is to ensure that the service provider, the developers themselves, deliver on time. Because otherwise they're dragging their feet. If we don't give them deadlines, they will drag their feet. They want to make sure that every 45 days, at least there are 45 houses being built. 400 to AM, I'm becoming, not some of 400 houses to be built in 45 days. And it's critical. In fact, the committee is here. We would like to see, certainly what the MEC and other provinces did. So we'll definitely, we'll be here, and after 45 days, we'd like to see 400,000. Okay?
Chair, it's not a question. It's really just on what you've been saying now, and I think it's what I said a bit earlier. I think I was saying it, but in terms of time frame, because I think, obviously, as a committee, and it relates to, and I made that comment in relation to all the pilot projects, but it relates to this as well. Is it not possible that we can be given some sort of template per project, pilot project across the country, including into Gateway, Cosmos City, the whole lot, that tells us by when we're expecting things to happen? So it gives us the ability to monitor as well. Because right now,
right now, don't have the ability. Right now,
and what they are planning to do. So at the end of the day, we know all of us are ready to roll up our sleeves and move. I think as the committee is giving you enough time to get your house in order. So this time we're not going to be able to give you no ifs. We'll make sure we are, and most unfortunately, but we have to do it for you as well, for your country. I think in conclusion, you owe, must give Mr. Chalke some time and give Didi some time, thereafter I'm going to close.
So, Madam Chair, I'm not sure whether you wanted to say what I wanted to say, but let's rather say, for close, some of our partners have come to hear from themselves, from Parliament, what they need to do. That is our bank, that is financing, and the other one is developer that is developing phase 2 in Sotomo and another thing. So they come to hear from the
bank. You also have to verify the bank.
Thank you very much, I can't continue to argue that as you, as I think. But we are alive about the challenges that we have faced as a country in terms of human settlement, provisioning of housing, and I think the same message, and we've been able to communicate with provinces. So we have restructured ourselves in such a way that we give necessary support to provinces, monitoring and making sure that we have really intervened decisively so to speed up delivery. But at the same time, provinces have also been able to restructure themselves in the manner that will allow for maximum implementation of government programs. So we thank you very much for giving us some time to get ourselves sorted out and for me to settle. As I said, I can't argue any longer to say that I've seen you. I'm willing to face the process going forward if we are not there for me.
Thanks, Didi. Thank you very much. Members, I just want to, in closing, to thank the department for being here and do the presentation. I'm sure they got your message loud and clear. I just want to say, Didi, there's one aspect that we should not lose sight of, especially on NCA3, that District 6 was meant to benefit from this process. So next time when you come before us, we want to know what kind of assistance has been given to District 6 to fulfill that dream. And also in terms of allocation, but we said we're not going to forget Fort Makiri. Because our idea was to integrate our communities. So, just to give you time, we know that we don't have that because when we wrote the letter to you, we didn't write that. But just don't forget District 6, Fort Makiri in terms of entry gateway, so that we understand that that integration we spoke of is really happening. Lastly, we know Eastern Cape didn't do this presentation, but the committee on the 2nd to the 11th of May is going to Eastern Cape. We're going to camp in the Eastern Cape. We'll do that in all provinces from time to time. So it's a committee time, but this time we're not going to come to Parliament. We'll be in the Eastern Cape for the whole week. We want to assist them in building a house, but also want a housing in Lido. Understanding, we want to ensure that each province must feel the presence of the committee and to assist them in the delivery of housing. So Didi would like the team to be ready and the people who are working on the Eastern Cape side to be ready in terms of that. Thank you, members. The meeting stands again.